to anyone in this congregation. If there's something that's really weighing on you or bothering you or hurting and you're in waiting mode, you can still spread the joy of the Lord everywhere you go.
Fidgeting. During worship, I think what I saw was what I'm going to, in my mind, interpret as a mantle. No coincidence today, the Old Testament was about Elisha, or Elisha, as Father Mark pronounces it. I saw a mantle coming down on this church. I believe with all my heart, this is probably something y'all have heard a lot before, but here I'm saying it again. This church is a church of intercession. Yes. There are intercessors in this church right now. And when I mean intercession, I'm not talking about that private little group that you know, does goofy things off on their own. I'm talking about a corporate body of warriors insignificantly located on the corner of this alley and Gary Avenue, where there's trash everywhere and industrial buildings abandoned, but God has a plan for this little church. And not only is it, now you know what? He doesn't just have a plan for this church. He is doing it right now. There are intercessions going out of this church. So, well, I think what I really want, and again, I don't know if he's just talking to me or if this applies to anybody else, but something stirring in me pertaining to pressing into that level, for lack, I don't know how to describe it. Another veil has to be removed. I think the bishop said something about a reset button being hit. I don't remember. But that the veil, there's another layer that needs to be pushed back, sort of like a war. Imagine that, when you have to press in with the standard waving, and you've got to, that person that Jane just prophesied to, you're in training for what God has for you, because what's happening to you is going to be the salvation for someone else. Amen? Amen. So whatever it is that the Lord has you waiting for, you keep yearning, you keep travailing in that waiting area so that God can allow you to enter into that next veil of whatever it is God is doing. I don't have a clue what he's doing. I'm talking like I know what I'm talking about. I don't have a clue. Oh, the only thing I know is he's up to it. Amen? Yeah. It's stirring up in the spirit. And all we have to do is say, yes, Lord, you are Lord. I am here. Whatever's going down, you know, I'm going to know about it sooner or later. Amen? Mm-hmm. Amen. So I just want to get excited this morning. I just want an excuse to get excited about what God is doing in this insignificant little church in the city of Fairfield in terms of the whole world. We're not talking about just a church in Fairfield. Right. We're talking about all over the world. Amen? That's why we come here. We don't come here to do the normal everyday thing. We come here because God has a purpose and a plan, and he hears your prayers. He hears your cries. He hears your pain. He knows your training because he's the one that put you there. And he's going to finish that which he's begun. Okay.
Hallelujah. Every Sunday at Pentecost, in the charismatic church, we're not waiting on God. God is waiting on us. Oh, God! What did the disciples cry out? Help my unbelief. Oh, God, remove my unbelief. You said if I had faith of a mustard seed, I can move mountains. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard, Lord. This is because of your unbelief. Jesus, why couldn't we cast them out? Oh, man, you know how this comes out? It comes out by prayer and fasting. Lord, this time it's this time to get serious about the things God is serious about. Forgive me, Lord, for just thinking that you don't get it. Forgive me, Lord, for thinking, man, what's up, God? God's like, yeah, that's a good question. What's up? As the song said this morning, God, we want to see your glory. Let your glory be known. Yes.
Is anyone else?
Glory. There are a lot of things coming at you, a lot of things around you, things that you can't control. There's a battle that's going on all around you right now. A word that the bishop gave several years ago, it may have only been to clergy, but the idea was to get above the battle, that God was going to put us up higher to be able to look down on the battle to see what was really going on. Because when you're in the battle, you can't see. You're just fighting. You might be beating at the wind, but you're fighting the best that you can. But God's going to take you up higher so that you can look down on the battle and be at peace to see how God is winning. And that can go for a lot of people.
Yes,
Lord. You had mentioned that blessings start when you wake up, and my mother was just saying that. She was just saying that when you wake up in the middle of the night, that's where your blessing starts.
Shirley, this is for you. You know how Father Mark says often, take it out for a spin? This is one of those words. I received this real early in worship, but I think if you can take hold of this and attach it to everything else that has been said and come from the place of an intercessor, right? I believe that the Lord is saying to me, to tell you, that there is a songbird within your soul that is trapped and that you've put the songbird in a cage. It was something that you chose. But he wants me to tell you, or remind you, I think you know this, that the door is open to that cage, and you can choose to come out. And here's the call to you, my sister, warrior. When you let the bird, the songbird, out, and let her fly free and sing the song of the Lord, several things will happen. One, it will give him great joy. But he also is saying that it will also give his songbird, great joy. And that when you have joy, he will have more joy, right? And as you fly free in this place of incredible joy, things in the atmosphere, in the world around, will change. This is your form of intercession. Sing, sing, sing.
Kyle, I believe that the Lord says that he sees your efforts and he's pleased with what you're doing. And I also believe that, he's saying to you that if you study the angelic creatures that in heaven that never cease to give thanks and praise to the Lord, that the more you study those, he's going to give you tons of musical inspiration of all kinds, not just for here, but for other places as well.
I was watching Julia here, and I think this is a corporate word for all of us. I've mentioned before about the value of having children and having them the freedom to just wander around, you know, and even seeing them laying on the floor, coloring, doing different kinds of things, because kids have a way of paying attention even when they're doing something else, you know. But what I was drawn to when she was wandering around is that's what we are invited to do in regards to the Lord's kingdom. He wants us just to wander around in it with a real sense of freedom. It's like you can go anywhere and explore. There is that invitation to go anywhere in his kingdom as free and as curious as that little girl. So if that speaks to anybody, I know it certainly does to me, but to be able to do that. So what's your first name? Catherine. So I was, when you're up there, I was drawn to you and started praying, and what I heard was seeker, and that you have sought and you have looked and pondered a lot of things. And then I saw that you were looking down and you had a garment on, and it had almost like some sticky stuff on it, and you were looking at that and trying to figure out how it got there, but how you're going to get it off, because it was kind of a mess. And what I heard was the Lord saying, if you give that to me, I will clean it. And then I saw him put his hands and lift your face up and to say to you how much he loves you and you delight him so, and for you to know that and to hear that. And it was the idea of him taking your face and you looking up as opposed to looking anywhere else. Amen?
Anyone else?
So I didn't think that this was at first something for me to share with the group, because it's very personal. excuse me. Y'all pray for me that I can get this out. When you asked us this morning to ask God what we should ask him for forgiveness for, he told me that what I should ask him for was to forgive my hard-heartedness. And I said, well, what's that? And he said, because you are staunchly against believing that you are worthy. And then he said, there's some things that he's been asking me to believe him for. And he said, you're hard-hearted because you're staunchly against believing that I will do that for you. And I thought about it because, you know, we take a word and, oh, yeah, we got to write it down, all that kind of stuff. But in our heart of hearts, do we really believe it? And do we really know who we are in Christ? Because that's something that he's really been dealing with me of late, the whole subject of identity and who we are in Christ. And taking his word for truth. No matter what you grew up hearing, and I'm not talking about my mom, but no matter what you grew up hearing, no matter what people said to you, no matter what life and circumstances brought your way, that none of that means anything when you compare it to his word. Oh, yeah. None of that means anything when you compare it to his word, and that we have to take his word and compare it, and there are certain decisions that we have to make. Number one, I'm going to believe his word, and whatever it says, I'm going to believe that. So I did tell him that I talked about with him changing my confession. And so I accept that I am worthy. And I'll tell you one other thing that I found kind of interesting. So at work, and I can tell you this password because I think there's no way anybody here can get in the system, but at work, he'll give me a password. We have to change it every few weeks. And he always gives me a password to remind me every day when I type it in, something I need to focus on. And so last period, it was Lord of Hosts. And so I put that in there. And this time, I came up and it said, you have, 5 days to change your password. And I was like, well, what should I put in there? And he said, Jehovah Sikkenu. And I looked it up and Googled it because I couldn't remember exactly which Jehovah that was. And it said, the Lord your righteousness. So all that fits into what I just said.
Amen.
And so hallelujah. I look forward to growing in that and developing in my identity of who I really, truly am. And so I think now that I'm getting up here saying this, that this is hallelujah. Not just a word for me, but really for everybody who is in Christ. That's the part of the process for us. We talks about being renewed in your mind in Romans 12, 1 and 2, that means something. That was very significant, what happened on the cross. It changed everything. And we can't go around acting like it didn't. And we can't go around behaving like we did before we met him on the cross, because that was the whole point. And he took care of everything. There's not anything left for us to do except to believe him and to do the things that he tells us to do in conforming to his image. So that word of God is the mirror, as it talks about, I think, in Hebrews. We look at that word and become more and more like him. But it's not just how we look. It's how we think and how we operate, because we're called to something higher. That brought us to something higher. And the world didn't know what that looks like. And we've got to stop looking at the world to teach us what that looks like. We're showing them, they don't show us. And we don't know what that is here in the church in general. We have to look to God to show us what that is, because we don't know. And we've got to stop trying to figure it out on our own and make it up according to our own finite minds. We can't do it. We don't have what it takes, except we revisit, take his word, we believe it, even though it doesn't make sense. We make the decision, I'm going to believe what I'm reading right here. He says, if I confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. So I'm doing it. Now I'm cleansed from all unrighteousness. I don't feel like it. I don't think it's right. But his word said it. So I'm going to trust and believe his word. And as I do that, I get conformed into his image. Right? And other people, oh, well, you remember you used to do, because I remember you're conformed to his image. That's not me. Right? So, I think I'm done. But thank you.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. In addition to what my son said, I was telling him how God was showing me 2:30, 3 o'clock, you get up to use the bathroom. A lot of people forget to thank their many blessings. They only wait until they get into the world and see things. But if you can see to go to the bathroom, that's a blessing. If you touch, you feel your legs are still moving and stuff, those are blessings. I've been there where my family had to teach me how to walk all over again. Mm. It took me a while. The doctor gave up on me.
And my oldest brother that passed away, he had a gift. He had a gift. He went and cooked just simple chicken and rice, grind it up, and gave it to me in a milkshake. Mm-hmm. He had faith for me when all I could do was think. I couldn't even talk. I hadn't talked for a while. And I started getting up. I started walking and talking in one day. Mm-hmm. Faith the size of a mustard seed. Faith. I have to live with it. I have to walk with it. Because the devil sees a jewel. I always felt that I had a jewel. I used to ask my bishop, "Bishop, I feel like I got a jewel inside of me." Mm-hmm. I'm attacked all the time. They want what I have. But it's not visible. And a cab driver, I took a cab, and he said, "You're light, and I'm a dark." He said, "I'm just telling you this because I know your brother." He said, "Be careful walking by yourself because there's darks out that wants to destroy the light of God." So faith the size of a mustard seed. I'm here. If only you guys know my story, I looked like elephant form. I hadn't looked in the mirror in a long time. However, I had faith. I started just using the mustard seed. I said, "Lord, you said if I could move mountains, what does that mean?" I was afraid to drive down here because there's a mountain in Virginia. I don't remember getting past that mountain. I said, "Okay, Lord, I moved that mountain out the way." But that faith, you got to have it because the devil is out there to destroy, kill, steal, and destroy. He don't care about your feelings. He don't care about you getting angry. That's what he wants you to do. Get angry. He's the author of confusion. Not God. Amen?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I couldn't tell you where to catch someone.
Veronica, I've been watching some Civil War documentaries lately, and it was funny. I'm just going to tell you how it worked, and I kept hearing the word Stonewall, and I looked over at you, and you took off your glasses, and the Holy Spirit would say to you, "Veronica is a Stonewall." You know, like Lori's flying above the battle, you're standing. The battle is going on all around you. There's smoke flying everywhere, and you're standing. And you're looking, and you know exactly what's going on. Amen? You know exactly what's going on. And God has gifted you to stand. Okay? So stand for yourself and stand for His people. Amen?
Our hands to our children. Well, this is one of those fun Sundays. I am not reading a letter. For those that have been here a long time, you will understand that and probably praise God for that. But what I am going to do is, as a member of the Rector's Council, and also Steve as well, we've been asked to talk about budget, giving, and tithing, the most exciting things you can talk about in church. So bear with me. And this week, Steve and I are going to speak. And then 2 weeks from now, we're going to ask some people to give testimonies about how they've been blessed by giving and tithing and what that means to them. We've got a few people that we've asked, and if anyone wants to volunteer, feel free to talk with Father Mark and get that set up with him as well. And I'm going to start out, I mean, as a church, why do we even bother with budgets? Well, unlike the federal government, we're not able to meet our obligations of day-to-day operations by simply either printing more money or by pushing our obligations out way beyond the future of ourselves or our immediate families and such by raising bonds and such. No, we have to meet those obligations on a regular basis. No one is giving us a free ride. So I'm just going to talk a little bit about some of the things that we do here in our church and in this building. And then you can kind of mull on that, take it out for a spin, as Father Mark says, and then come back and think about what you want to do about that. Times passed, and I know that in other churches and such, people do pledge cards. And we haven't done that in years here. And so we're not going to be doing that, that I'm aware of. But we do want everyone to be aware that starting in January, we're going to have a budget. And we're going to set aside almost like the home budgets where you have envelopes where you put the money in. When that money's gone, you don't spend on that anymore. And so we're looking at sort of in an electronic manner doing the same type of thing. We're going to designate certain areas that we're going to put our resources that we have come in. And once that budget is gone, that area is not going to be funded anymore. Now, what are some of the things that we do around here, especially in the building? With the choir meeting on, practicing on Saturdays, this building is open 7 days a week. You may not realize that. And this is not the most efficient building to have open and have people in here and be comfortable when they're in here. So we've got utility expenses, power bill. We all know that over the years we've had a lot of floods because of the way the pumps work or don't work. We've had a roof that just seemed like it was no roof at all. Some of that has been settled out, seems to have been steady. This is an old building. It needs some renovations. It needs some parking up. We've been doing that gradually as we can. And we're going to continue doing that because this is the house of the Lord. For those that have been doing the daily readings lately, last week, the king was appalled Because they found the book of the Lord in the temple. I mean, it's like, they found the book of the Lord in the temple. I mean, was it buried under stuff? Was it neglected? Obviously it was. Because when he read it, he said, we're in trouble. We got a lot that's going to happen to us if we don't straighten up. So we don't want to neglect the things that God has given us, the things that we hold dear and precious. But I did just want to go over some of the things that we do here. Then Steve's going to talk about giving and tithing. He's got the big, big topics. We do noon Eucharist, Monday through Friday. It is, the people that are able to attend it have said that it's a real impact in their lives. It's very important. We want to keep doing that. Tuesday's a big day here. We do Pathway, which involves ministry to young women. There's some expenses there. We do the food pantry every Tuesday. And we help provide food for usually, on average, above 60 families that are involved in that. During that time, we also pray for these people. And we've seen miracles happen. Once a month, we go to Clyde Williams and provide extra food and groceries for the people that are in that senior citizen's home. And that's usually about an average of 80 or so or more. We also have Celebrate Recovery, which is on Tuesday nights. This is a ministry. It's a Christ-centered 12-step program. For those that don't know what a 12-step program is, it's Alcoholics Anonymous, AA, and other programs like this. But this is Christ-centered in that at some point, Christ is going to step in. He's going to fix the things that are amiss in your life. There's some cost involved in that. Not a whole lot. But there, we keep the building open almost all day, Tuesday. We have Bible study one evening out of the weekday. It's on Mondays now. It has been on Wednesdays. We try to make it as convenient for everyone. We do other outreaches during the week. People come in, they need food, they need transportation somewhere. We help provide that as best we can. All that stuff has a cost. And like I said, as we pray and settle on what we can do as far as the budget items, we're going to have these areas that are going to have an electronic envelope. Money's going to be in there. But when the money's gone, we're not going to be able to do that anymore until the next time when it gets replenished. So I'm not harping on anyone to give beyond what they can possibly do, but just these are things to think about as we move forward with this budget. And we will be presenting probably toward the end of December what that budget will look like and some of the areas that we're going to be putting our resources into. And so we want input into that as well. This is not something that Father Mark, Father Don and Father Terry and Steve and ourselves are just, you know, coming up with out of the sky. This is what we know that we do and what we want to keep on doing and the things that we want to add to that. So, but realistically, like I said, we're not making money. We're not floating bonds for 20, 30 years out. So we've got to be realistic in how we approach these things.
Thank you, Tim, for the practical nuts and bolts here of the church and for being a pillar in this church all these years. Father Mark has asked me to share about tithing. And what I'm going to share is based on Scripture. And I realize with this church, this is a giving church, and I'm preaching to the choir here, not just Lynn and Jane and Kyle, but the... But wherever this applies, though, to you, you know, I want you to apply it. So tithing is systematically setting aside the first 10% of our income for God, seeing that God gets his portion before we use it, okay? My experience has been that when I don't hold myself to this, the money disappears. Can anybody attest to that? So I don't have the discipline to do it. So in the book of Malachi, God says that we're to faithfully bring our tithes and our offerings to him. But if we don't do this, it could bring a curse. It says in Malachi chapter 3, 9, and 10, "You're cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need." God has a plan for our whole lives, and this includes our finances. And tithing is really, it's the foundation. So we're also to give beyond the tithe, God says, with offerings and alms and charity for the poor. My experience over the years has been that I've struggled with tithing. Bridget has had to hold me to it. Bridget has said, you know, "Did you tithe?" I say, "Yes." She says, "Have you given the whole tithe?" You know, so what does that mean? She would say, you know, that's before taxes. You know, so she's held me to that, and I didn't like that really, because I felt like I was being compelled to follow a law. You know, if you don't do this, then this will happen. Well, you know, if you do that, then that'll happen. And I was kind of focused on that. But really what I've discovered over the years is that it's so much more than that, okay? It's, you know, many Christians believe that it's an Old Testament law that we're to follow. But really it was before the law of Moses, where Abraham gave the spoils from war to the high priest Melchizedek, and that's all the way back in Genesis. So this is something that has been, that God has instituted from the beginning. And so again, but many people, and I think the lie is that we believe, well, this is just an Old Testament thing. This is the law. You know, we're under the new covenant. Well, when I think of the new covenant, I look at that. And that's a lot more than 10%. So now, you know, God, again, he has a plan for our finances. And I think if we think of it this way, that, you know, our money, what our attitude is towards money is a reflection of our attitude to God. There is a correlation. And that when we present something to him, that we're presenting our time and our work and our wealth and our skills, and, you know, we give that to him, and I believe that it protects us from evil. That's what the scripture says, okay? But more importantly, I see it as an act of worship, that we're worshiping God when we bring this forward. That's why we do it before we receive Eucharist. We give our offerings and our tithes before that. So it's really an act of worship, you know, which is exciting. You know, this is how we praise the Lord. This is what we have to give to him, okay? That's a good thing. So in a couple of verses, I think, that apply is that, well, let me just say this first. I'll even share, you know, that once I started to do this, and over the years there have been, I have had blessings that were way beyond my paycheck. Okay, when I left the public school teaching, I was scared, and I told Bishop Jones, you know, that I was going to do this, and he immediately said, "Less means more. Less means more." You know, when I went to Restoration Academy, because the paycheck was less, but he said it means more, and it has meant so much more. And that really was, you know, I was receiving things that, again, that were way beyond that, the paycheck. And so God is faithful, okay? I remember one year I went to do my taxes, and after I was all done, you know, presenting all my information and the taxes, signed the papers, my tax man said to me, "There's something just came up on the screen. It says that it's impossible. The IRS wants to know." He said, "It's impossible for you that you could live off of what your income is. Do you have an explanation for this?" And I was like, you know, so I said, "Write down, type in that the Lord God has blessed me," because that's the only explanation I had. So a couple of verses here that apply. 2 Corinthians 9, 7, and 8. These are great giving passages. "Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver." How do we give cheerfully? And then he goes on to say, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich." So the key here is to look at the cross, okay? Because that was how he became poor for us. So all of our provision as believers, we've been talking about the kingdom way today, is through his cross. Because really through that, we receive all of the provision, physical, mental, emotional, financial, everything that we need. It comes through Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross. Okay, so that is the key. Now, the other key, we have to know that, but then the other key is to receive that grace and release that grace, and that comes through faith. So you have to believe in his grace, and the way to activate that is through an act of faith, which is giving, whatever that might be, really. So if we believe in that, we believe that the provision is there, then we just take the step of faith to give. And then we trust that God will do his part, it's in his word. As Portia was saying, we have to stand on his word. It's what his word says. He doesn't tell us when. That's the faith part. Okay? But it's in the word. So Romans 6:14 says that sin shall not be our master, for we are not under the law anymore, but grace. Okay? So it's a step of faith. And, you know, we really, I think naturally, I could think many times, we say, I can't afford to give. I can't afford to do this. But really, faith says you can't afford not to give. You just take that step. When God's prompting you, a lot of times you feel the prompting, and then you don't do it, and then it's like sometimes, and then you don't do it. Time passes. So anyway, as Tim mentioned, we're going to have people give their testimonies starting in a few weeks, and we can see that everybody here likes to speak and aren't shy. So we can have, Bishop Jones calls them ghost stories, right? And we're here in October, so we can have some more Holy Ghost stories in the next, beginning October 27th, and then the next week, okay? And then we'll just see where we go with this, okay? So thank you.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.